This morning, we're going to continue our messages on the seven words of wisdom from the cross, the seven words that Jesus spoke on the cross at his crucifixion. And last Sunday, as I stated, that on the cross, Jesus left us an example to follow. And one of those examples was that would help us deal with adversity. We all have that adversity in life. Those things that come up, it can be temptation, it can be hardship and suffering that we go through in this physical, emotional, or spiritual life. And these seven words of wisdom that Jesus spoke from the cross are very beneficial to us in our life today. How would we have known as Jesus spoke those that it would be things of application that we can apply to our lives that would help us? Whatever Jesus spoke from, whether it's on the cross or the words spoken, was words of wisdom from the Father that we might understand and know his will and purpose for our lives and how to deal with this life here on earth. And also, he left us an example that he knew that we would suffer hardships. During his time upon the earth, he went about doing good, meeting people's needs, both physical and spiritual. He knew that we too would suffer hardship, that we would experience these difficult days in our life. So these words are very vital for us to help us in our everyday activities that we go through here on this earth. So today we're going to examine the second and third statements that Jesus made from the cross. Last Sunday, it was, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing, which is forgiveness. So let's look, first of all, these words help others who are experiencing your same struggle. So I want to read from Luke chapter 23, beginning with verse 39. And one of the things that Jesus spoke, he was talking to the criminals on the cross, and he was giving them one instructions about he could be with him in paradise. Jesus said, you know, would you remember me? And Jesus said, from this day forward, you shall be with me in paradise. Now, as we look at verse 39, it says, one of the criminals who were hanged there was hurling abuse at him, at Jesus, saying, are you not Christ? Save yourself and us. And then verse 40, but the other answered and rebuking him, saying, do you not even fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed are suffering justly, for we are receiving what we deserve for our deeds. But this man, talking about Jesus, has done nothing wrong. And he was saying, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said, truly I say to you, today you shall be with me in paradise. A paradise, Jesus was speaking of heaven. Now, when we think about what Jesus is saying here, first of all, Jesus said, surely you shall be with me in paradise. So the second thing in dealing with adversity is to help others who are going through your same struggles. So the account here portrays that there are two thieves beside Jesus. One thief mocked him while the other one believed that he was the Son of God. Barabbas was the one that took Jesus' place on the cross, because they freed him and Jesus took his place. Now, when we look at this scripture here, we should take note of Jesus' interaction of a repentant thief. First of all, the man was experiencing exactly the same thing that Jesus was. The man that asked for repentance. Forgive me, Lord. You know, I deserve being up here, but you do not, as the scripture said. Jesus could have been focused on his own problems, but he wasn't. But he demonstrated a sensitivity that remained available to the needs of the other people around him, even while dealing with his own sufferings. And one of the thieves mocked him. Now, it's easy for us to be blinded to the needs of others. People around us when we can see our own problems. But Jesus revealed that we need to look past our own adversity. And that's what Jesus was doing. He looked past his adversities and his problems and his suffering on the cross. And he took care of the need of the one that was repentant. He looked out at the crowd. First of all, and said, forgive all of these people here. And forgive all those people who are to come into this world because of sin. And sin began back at the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve took of the fruit. Sin entered the world. So the Lord was saying, Jesus Christ on the cross, forgive them even back from the very beginning of time. In the beginning, God created heaven and earth and placed man right in the midst of the garden and in this world. And the Lord was saying, forgive them, even them. And while we were yet sinning or continuing in sin, Jesus said, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. So when we start caring for other people and meeting their needs, we ought to realize that we're in a whole lot better shape than many other people. We must realize that. We often, and we also tend not to focus so much on our own set or our own problems as we should be more concerned of how we can help other people. You know, helping others is good therapy for the soul. Do you know that? It is real good therapy for the soul. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, we see that many of the trials that we go through, Paul talks about that right here, beginning with verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort. Do you see what Paul is saying right here? The Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. And then he goes on to say in verse 4, who comforts us in all of our afflictions so that we will be able to comfort those. See, here Paul is not only thinking about, okay, the comfort of myself, but he's saying of others, as Jesus did from the cross. He wasn't thinking about himself, but he was thinking about other people. And Paul is pointing at this out right here. Who comforts us in all afflictions so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which ourselves are comforted by God. Good words from Paul. In verse 5, for just as the sufferings of Christ are ours in abundance, so also our comfort is abundant through Christ. And then verse 6, but if we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. Or if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which is effective in the patient enduring of the same suffering which we also suffer. And then verse 7. And our hope for you is firmly grounded, knowing that as you are sharers of our sufferings, so also you are sharers of our comfort. So here Paul, I think he picks up on what Jesus was saying as well from the cross. And as these words of wisdom come forth to us today. See, sometimes we want to focus on our own suffering, our own hardship, or the things that we go into physical life, when we should be saying, okay, let me help you. Yeah, I can identify with you. And that's what Christ was saying on the cross. I identify with your suffering, Jerry, and your grief and your sorrow, but I still forgive you for placing me here on this cross. So let us learn how to comfort others, as Jesus was comforting those while he was on the cross. He was comforting them. That's why he said, forgive them, Lord. Give them that comfort. I'm willingly going through this suffering. And he said, with joy I go to the cross. Not because he was looking forward to the suffering, but he was following and being obedient to the Father who sent him to this earth in the form of a man. He had his divine side, but yet he was all human as well. Then we too can be comforted as our love and concern for others begin to overshadow our own problems. Now, as we look forward to John chapter 19, verse 26 and 27, we can be sure that our taking care of those nearest you. And this is taken from where Jesus was looking at Mary and said, woman, behold your son. And then he looked at John, behold your mother. So Jesus had some other words of wisdom for both Mary and John, for all of us. So let's look at what John says here in chapter 19, verses 26 and 27, where Jesus said, when Jesus saw his mother, and he didn't call her mother, but Scripture said, when he saw his mother and the disciple whom loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, woman, behold your son. And then he said to the disciple, and John was the only one there at the cross. Remember, all the other disciples, they were somewhere else. John was the only one there at the foot of Jesus. And he said, from that hour the disciple took her into his own household. So, when we look at this passage of Scripture, it says, woman, behold your son. And then Jesus said to the disciple, behold your mother. This is the third thing in dealing with adversity, to be sure you've taken care of the one nearest you. And, you know, the ones nearest us, sometimes it's our family. It could be someone else in need. And Jesus was saying, you know, I'm going back to the Father, but you are here. And he's looking at his mother, called woman. And John, you are to take care of her. Treat her as your own mother. And Mary, treat John as your own son. In this verse, we see that Jesus turned his concern to his mother's own personal concern. And when he said, woman, behold your son, he wasn't saying, look at me and weep for me. He wasn't saying that. He was directing her attention to John. He was saying, woman, which was a term of respect. Back then, a lot of women didn't have respect, but woman, Jesus was showing respect to Mary, equivalent to man. And this will, this man will become the one who oversees and takes care of you from here on. That's what Jesus was saying to Mary. And then completing that transfer of responsibility to his mother, he said to John, "Son, behold your mother." Both were to be a part of that plan that God had ordained of us caring for one another. So there could be any number of reasons why our times of difficulty affect our family members, such as our mother, our father, our husband, our wife. They could be siblings and even our own children. You think about it. Families take care of family, right? Families take care of family. That's what we do. So in following Jesus' example this morning, we might be asked to leave our father and mother because of our calling in life. We all have a calling. We might have to go abroad. We might have to be another state or another county. But we might be asked to do that. And if one of our parents is or have been unable to take care of themselves, we might feel guilty for leaving them behind. You know, when I entered the ministry, you know, I left my state and haven't been back permanently, and didn't see my parents for maybe a year and a half at times and so forth. But you know, that's what happens when God calls you. You go where he sends you, you stay put and get what you have. And that's what Jesus has asked all of his disciples. And that's why he was saying, you take care. You look out for one another. We look out for family. We look out for friends. We look out for our church families. That's what Jesus is saying. This is what this passage of Scripture is referring to. Take care of those nearest you. And see, we might feel guilty for leaving people behind, our parents or our loved ones. And this guilt moves over us like a dark shadow, distracting us from serving the Lord wholeheartedly. It can do that. But if we keep our focus, and Jesus kept his focus, then it will all work out for God's honor and glory. See, we resolve the issues of how our parents can be taken care of, or reserve our emotional effect and burdens, and our burdens will be lifted. See, God can use us more effectively when we do as he did on the cross. Look out for the best and the concern of others. Whatever family issue that we might be facing today, whatever trouble is happening on the home front, it can rob us of peace and distract us from serving others. This is until we are willing to turn everything over to the Lord. Until it is the matter is settled. See, our lives should be dedicated wholeheartedly to Jesus as he was wholeheartedly dedicated to us by going to the cross and dying for our sins. These words of wisdom from the cross are very vital to us. Jesus is showing how, you know, he loved us and he forgave us. He's also showing these two examples of how to take care of one another. As he looked at Mary, Mary, this is your son now. John, this is your mother now. You take care of one another. As the scripture says, from that day forward, John took her into his home. Over the years, I know families have taken in people who have had hardships or sickness and things. I know my own family has taken in people. My grandparents, I don't know how many, when I was a child, took in people in their house and let them stay there until they was able to get back on their feet and go on their own. Countless of people. Miss Reedy was one of them. She was blind and she could not help herself. But she could play the piano. She was amazing. I mean, she could make a piano dance on the floor. And I would sit beside her oftentimes when I was very small. I was probably 4, 5, 6 years old. Sit there on the bench and she'd just sit there playing away. And then she'd ask me, "Mike, what you want to hear next?" I said, "Whatever you want to play is good enough for me." And she lived with them like 2 or 3 years till she finally turned the home. And that's how it is, you know. We help people in need, and God will truly bless. Who gets the biggest blessing, you know? Who gets the biggest blessing? Come down and we think, you know, helping others, they get the blessing, but we get the blessings. You know, Dennis and I have talked about that often, haven't we, Dennis?
Yep.
How, if you help someone else, you get the biggest blessing. I know Dennis has said that to me.
Yeah.
You know, when I help people, that's the blessing. They get a blessing, but I think I get a greater blessing because I'm doing something the Lord would have me to do. So in closing in this service today, this message, we just learned one of the seven, or three of the seven, based on Jesus' words from the cross. And now, I want to tell you the truth about the victory we can have from these words. The only way that you and I can have the kind of victory is to place our hope and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. The hope and the trust in the cross, and to know the one who died on the cross, Jesus Christ, he did it for us. Jesus Christ, he will forgive. He said it from the cross. Forgive. I forgive. Everyone. Past, present, future. And he gives us eternal life. And I'll be sharing the others' words of wisdom from the cross for the next week or two. But I hope that each and every one of us will realize that these words of wisdom, that we can apply those to our own life each day. Each day of our life, we can apply these. We can show forgiveness. We can show care and concern. We can reach out, just as Jesus did from the cross. And we can help one another. And we get the benefit from it. We get the blessing. Let us pray. Our Father God, we praise your holy name this morning. We thank you for these seven words of wisdom, three that we've looked at this morning. And Lord, there are four more that we can apply to our lives as well. And Lord, as we come to the conclusion of this service, Lord, your invitation is always open even after the service is closed. And Lord, we're looking forward to our time of observance of the Lord's Supper this morning. As we prepare our hearts, may we be open and sensitive to your Holy Spirit, examine our lives, and to be sure we know that we're only worthy through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sin. We who have claimed the name of Jesus as our Savior are worthy to take it. But Paul said we still need to examine our lives because we're saved, but sometimes we fall short of your glory. And we have to re-examine ourselves and be sure that there's no sin, nothing in our lives that would hinder us from taking the Lord's Supper this morning. We are very grateful the sacrifice that you made on Calvary. We're deeply grateful for the love, the unconditional love you showed us. May we show it in return by our service to you, as you said from the cross. You take care of one another. You take care of someone in need. You take care of your mother, your son, your family, your friends, anyone in need. That's what you were saying from the cross. You set that example, and we thank you for that. It's in Christ's name we pray.